Western Ohio Bias presents NASCAR Talk with Justin Bradley.
And I am D, Cleveland born and raised and Buckeye born and bred. And we welcome in Justin Bradley. Justin, this is the big one. Down in Myrtle Beach, your neck of the woods, the Darlington Bojangles 500. Welcome in, Justin.
Yeah, the Southern 500, man. It's one of our favorite races of the year. And it's a big, big event for South Carolina. Perhaps one of the biggest sporting events we do down here. So we're excited to have NASCAR back in our neck of the woods. It's where it all started, though. NASCAR's first super speedway. And I've been there two or three different times, but I can tell you it lives up to the billing. I've never actually seen a race there yet, but I've ridden around the track, and you get so much appreciation for what those guys are going to be doing on Sunday night. And I tell you what, Darlington, we're revved up and ready to go here.
We got Justin down there, so we're going to focus all on Darlington here on this episode. We're going to talk about some of the throwback paint schemes and then go into why this race is so unique to the NASCAR circuit, for especially with it being at the end leading into the playoffs. Justin, the big announcement, we talk about throwback paint schemes, the Jamie McMurray announcement. I mean, I'm a casual fan, as I mentioned a lot of times on this podcast, but that Jamie McMurray paint scheme going back to the throwback number one car, the Hawaiian Tropic Chevrolet, David Pearson, and a little fact that I'm going to throw out there, 10-time winner there in Darlington.
Yeah, man, it doesn't get much better than Pearson. He won 103 races, didn't even really run that many full schedules. And you look at what the Silver Fox has done in his career, and I got to love that, man. Jamie McMurray tributing the Silver Fox. And when you think of Darlington, you definitely think of David Pearson. You definitely think of Cale Yarbrough, Dale Earnhardt, Richard Petty. All those guys were successful there. But perhaps, like you said, none more than the Silver Fox. So really, really great paint scheme. Looking forward to seeing McMurray out there in that one this week.
Give us a couple of some of the other paint schemes. We've been going through them as the, you know, with the episodes leading up to it, but we've left out a couple. So what's some of your other favorites?
Yeah, some of my other favorites, I will say my all-time, well, not my all-time favorite, but my favorite this year, and it might surprise some people, is Brad Keselowski's Rusty Wallace throwback. I always loved the Midnight Rider car, and Rusty Wallace was really successful in that black and gold number two. I think Keselowski's car looks sharp, so if you ever wanted to see what a past car looks like as a Gen 6 car, without like some of the mods that they do on iRacing, you get to see it with Brad Keselowski. I also like the Wrangler throwbacks that Richard Childress is doing this year. That's a good callback to Dale Earnhardt. Again, you know, I'd love to see the black GM Goodwrench car out there. Unfortunately, we're not going to get it this year. Maybe next year, maybe the year after. We can always dream, I suppose. Really love Dale Jr.'s Busch Series throwback. I think we've talked about that before. We talked about Danica's Dale Jarrett tribute, which I like. There's just so many good throwbacks. This is why it's one of the best weekends in NASCAR. You get to really see some creative stuff out of these teams, and you really get to see some cars that remind you of the heyday that a lot of fans grew up with and enjoyed. So there are so many sharp-looking race cars out there. I really like Jimmy Johnson's car as well. I think Kevin Harvick has a sharp ride again. Some cars that really don't jump out too much to me, but I think are going to run up front. You got Chase Elliott. You got Joey Logano's throwbacks. Those look pretty neat. But, again, they're just kind of bland for me this year. Clint Bowyer, I like his throwback to Mark Martin. So, a lot, like I said, a lot of great-looking paint schemes. I think that Brad Keselowski takes top honors for me in terms of the number one throwback this year. But, you know, good stuff from a lot of these teams. It'll be exciting to see those cars out there.
You talk about the tradition and just, you know, being able to connect, you know, casual fans like myself or even the hardcore fans and the walking encyclopedia. It's just a great weekend for everybody to celebrate NASCAR and the racing history. Let's get into it, Justin. We talked about Dave Pearson. Give us a couple other, you know, moments or, you know, just unique things about Darlington and what that track has meant to the racing.
Well, Darlington is, like I said, it's the first speedway in NASCAR, super speedway in NASCAR history. It was the largest of its time. So many cars started that first race there. And you look at the Southern 500, it's one of the crown jewels in NASCAR. It used to be that it all came down to that race if you were gunning to win the Winston Million at that time. And the first year they offered it, Bill Elliott won it until he got the nickname Million Dollar Bill. And then it was another 12 years before Jeff Gordon did it. Now, at the time, poor old Jeff Gordon, man, I mean, we all love him now, but everybody hated the fact that he won so much. And it was like you were either for Jeff Gordon or massively against him. And there were a lot of people who did not want to see him win the Winston Million that day, but he did. And you got to tip your hat to him. He had to hold off a charge from Jeff Burton there toward the end of the race. Jeff Burton did run into him on the final lap, but just couldn't get by. And then you look at some of the other Southern 500s over the years. Remember, Earnhardt won it in 1990. Mark Martin in 93 capped off one of his greatest runs. He had four wins in a row that year, and the Southern 500 was one of those. And some other drivers like Harry Gantt, Ricky Rudd, those guys have won at Darlington. So this is a who's who of NASCAR. Like I said, Richard Petty, David Pearson, Cale Yarborough, Elliott, all those guys have won there. Ned Jarrett, Dale Jarrett. So you are absolutely going to be a driver's driver if you win there. I mean, this is totally the track that they love to race because it tests your skill as a driver, not so much the car. It tests how can you get around there and survive for 500 miles. Martin Truex showed us how to do that last year. And again, just so much fun to watch the Southern 500.
You mentioned Martin Truex Jr. winning last year. A guy who desperately needs a win going into these last two races would be Matt Kenseth, who was a 2013 winner. Who else, you know, when we look at this being, you know, the second race, to the second to last race to the playoff hunt, who else needs this win? We've talked about him before, but let's go through him again.
Yeah, Joey Logano, Dale Earnhardt Jr. I think Chase Elliott is one of them who needs a win as well. So Clint Bowyer. Earnhardt Jr. ran second to Kevin Harvick in 2014, but other than that, he really hasn't had the best luck at Darlington. He's been solid, not great. You look at some other guys, Joey Logano has been solid there. Kurt Busch has been solid, but again, not great. And remember that great finish in the Trans-South 400 in 2003 with Ricky Craven, the closest finish in NASCAR history. So Darlington, again, a driver's racetrack. And the driver who right now is the hottest on tour is Kyle Busch, so I look for him to be up front. I look for guys like Harvick to be up front. Jimmy Johnson, I don't really look for him to run that well at Darlington. He's won there in the past. He is a Southern 500 champion, but again, he really just hasn't ran well there the last couple of years, so I don't really look for Jimmy to be super strong. I remember he wrecked last year, so again, this is his summer stretch where he just kind of experiments with things, but just don't look for him to run that well. Of course, he doesn't have to worry about it. Martin Truex, I think, will be in the thick of things again, but as far as needing a win, well, if you need a win at Darlington, going to be awfully hard to do because you're asking a lot more of yourself to go there and win in a clutch situation. But if anybody can do it out of those drivers who absolutely need a win, I would say it could be Matt Kenseth. So I look forward to seeing what he can do on Sunday as well.
About 500 miles over 366 laps for this race. I love nicknames, Justin. The Lady in Black is one of the ones that is bantied around because it's a 1.4 mile oval, that egg shape with 23 to 25 degree turns for banking. And also they say the track sometimes, like you said, is a driver's track, but it's too tough to tame for some of these guys, sort of greener drivers. So I think this is going to be one where we've seen how important, we talked about it on the podcast, the communication between crew chiefs. We learned about the comb row, down there in Bristol last week. And then, people have been having some issues with just getting into the pits and getting there timely, using their gas and everything all the way back to Pocono. So I think all these things are going to come into this one for this big race.
Yeah, and honestly, a lot of people might say that the Daytona 500 is the toughest major to win. I think it's the Southern 500 because Daytona 500 relies a lot on how well your car handles and if you can just keep it up front. Southern 500, you have to drive it. It has to handle well. You have to remain focused. This track is difficult. I've been around it in a ride around with those folks, and I've enjoyed every second of it. But I can tell you, I've walked up and down those turns. It is steep. You do not understand how steep it is until you are on that racetrack. Not one part of that track is super flat at any point. And you really are going to have to wrestle that thing all night. So it's going to test your physical conditioning and your mental conditioning as well. So again, really, really tough racetrack. And it's going to be a lot of fun, though, because you'll see people taking more risks than they normally would. They know there's a couple of races left to the playoffs. Some guys are going to be trying to get that leg up, getting some extra points. I look for Truex and those guys to, you know, win their stages again. But like I said, like we talked about, you know, they're going to get a Darlington stripe. It's going to be too tough to tame. And like Dale Earnhardt once said, you got to respect the lady when you dance with her, or she'll reach out and slap you. And sometimes that happens. I mean, you see these rookies come in and they get slapped around at Darlington. But you also see guys like Kyle Busch who took to it right away, and there's just drivers who have a knack for it. So an interesting mix, definitely. And I look for Kyle Larson to be strong as well. So we will definitely get a feel for who will be a real championship contender, too, at this racetrack.
Well, the names you just mentioned have the best odds of winning. Both Truex and Busch are plus 350. Kyle Larson is plus 450. And then at plus 700 is Kevin Harvick, rounding out at a plus 800, which would probably be, you know, your wildest take would be your guy Chase Elliott, Matt Kenseth, Brad Keselowski, who you mentioned, and also the rookie Eric Jones. So that's a who's who. But one guy I want to ask you about who has run well here. He's had 12 top 10 finishes and 18 starts. A guy that hasn't really been mentioned a lot, but Ryan Newman has been impressive over the last couple. Had a top 6 finish both at Michigan and at Bristol. Could he be a dark horse to win this one?
Yeah, and a lot of people don't really realize how good Ryan Newman actually is. This guy takes underperforming equipment and runs consistent in it. And he's always been solid at Darlington. Now, he has not had a win there. He almost did one year. I think Biffle passed him late in the going. That might have been 2005 or 2006. But, you know, Newman, I look for him to be strong again. In terms of winning the race, I don't think so. He'll be a solid top 10, though. And, you know, Ryan Newman is just one of those drivers who he's going to get the most out of it, and he's going to race everybody hard. Now, that ruffles some feathers sometimes. He's had incidents with Joey Logano and Jimmy Johnson in the past. But, you know, you got to race hard. And Ryan Newman definitely, every time folks are around him, he's going to give them everything they've got. You don't just get that spot. You have to earn it.
All right, Justin, let's get to it, man. Your pick. We threw a lot of names out there, but a lot of different drivers and whatnot. But your pick to win the Southern 500.
Yeah, I haven't really been doing that well lately, so I'm going to go back to the old wheelhouse and pick somebody reliable and steady. And I think Martin Truex Jr. will win. I really don't see any way that it'll be anything other than Martin Truex, Kyle Busch, and maybe even Eric Jones up front again, because these guys are strong every week, and Eric Jones is really, really stepping up lately. As far as a dark horse candidate, though, I would say Chase Elliott. Now, he's bound to win one yet, so what better win to get than the Southern 500? I think that'll be fun if he can do it, but again, I'm not going to bet against Martin Truex this time.
All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That's episode 6. We're excited for the grab maybe a 6-pack, maybe a 12, on Sunday evening, sit down and enjoy this race down there. And maybe you'll see Justin in the crowd. Who knows? You know, you can wave to him on TV.
Yeah, maybe so. It just depends on how things work. But we're excited for a lot of stuff. I know Buckeye football is coming up on Thursday, so we hope they win and make it a good Labor Day weekend for everybody. As we all know, it's going to be pretty interesting having them play on Thursday night, and then having the traditional Labor Day race there in Darlington. So a lot of good action, the opening weekend of college football, and perhaps the greatest race on the NASCAR schedule.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That's been episode 6 of NASCAR Talk with Justin Bradley. You can always find us on Facebook, With an Ohio Bias. You can follow us on Twitter at With an Ohio Bias. And this podcast is always available in iTunes. Just search With an Ohio Bias in the Google Play where you find podcasts that you can search With an Ohio Bias there as well. And then also on the Stitcher app, which allows you to listen to it on the go in your car. Hopefully you're not driving as fast as they do in NASCAR, but you can listen to us on the AirPlay there as well. Justin, drop those social media links just so people know how to follow you and be able to chastise you if Martin Truex doesn't finish this one.
You give me all the flack you want, I guess, because I've been really missing it lately. I don't understand what's going on with that, but It's 2 Justin Bradley on Twitter, 3 Justin Bradley on Instagram. And I do want to say I did post, I think, a throwback not too long ago of me in Victory Lane at Darlington. So even though I didn't actually win a race, I have been to Victory Lane at Darlington Raceway, so that's pretty cool.
Definitely mix it up with us out there on the old social media. We thank you for listening to this edition of NASCAR Talk with Justin Bradley, and we will talk at you next time.